Nothing else will be practical. Nothing else is going to work. This world is too far gone. So they said, let's build up beauty and science and industry and revive ancient learning and invent whole new industries and get the entire planet moving on a human basis. Make maps. One of these maps goes to Columbus. That's their project. And you have an opposite faction, an opposite idea in Venice. And the Venetian idea of slavery, of secret government, of man's degradation, of cults, of the Kabbalah and so forth, that gets into England. They take over Britain, and eventually Britain becomes the capital of the slave trade.
Getting bigger by being better. The number one choice for Bristol. This is BCFM 93.2.
And that was Anton Chaitkin. He's the son of Jacob Chaitkin, who was the legal representative to the Jewish Boycott Committee of Nazi Germany in America. Fascinating chap. All sorts of interesting stuff, particularly applicable to our city. And anyway, now I hope we're joined on the line by the former Uzbekistan ambassador, Craig Murray. Hi, Craig. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
We've been chatting about this supposed Novichok discovery in Amesbury. First of all, what's your take on it? Because we're told that it can't be the same batch of Novichok, if it is Novichok, because the stuff decays. Well, anyway, what's your take on what's happened in Amesbury and the coverage of it?
Well, I think the entire story gets increasingly unbelievable. I think we should start from, you know, the very basic fact, which doesn't get enough airing, which is that Novichok is not only made in Russia. It was invented in Russia, in the former Soviet Union, in a facility which had over 300 chemicals weapons scientists working in it from all over the former Soviet Union. So there are Ukrainians, Georgians, people like that who know how to make this. Of course, the one of the main guys in the program subsequently went to live in the United States and published a book on Amazon telling you how to make it. And certainly in both the United States and at Port and Down, it has been synthesized for testing purposes. So several states have made it. Iran has made it and reported it, again, for testing purposes and reported the fact to the OPCW properly. So the substance could be made anywhere, and the complete lie that the government keeps saying that only Russia can make it is just absolute nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And it is a case that it normally is water soluble. In fact, can be washed away. We had the chief medical officer of the UK after the Salisbury attack telling everyone that they just had to wash their clothes and wipe themselves down with wet wipes, and that would destroy any danger, if there were any, on anybody's clothing. And now we're told that magically that's not actually true, and the media have managed to find lots of scientists, or chemical weapons experts, so-called, to come out and say, no, they decided it doesn't degrade after all, and it could stay around in a park for 4 months and still be potent. Which is fascinating. I mean, the way the story keeps changing is fascinating, because we were told that the reason the Skripals weren't killed by this incredibly deadly nerve agent was that it had been on their door handle and it had been raining, so it had lost some efficacy. Well, if, you know, in a few hours on their door handle it lost some efficacy in the rain, I think after 4 months it definitely would have lost efficacy. So the whole thing just doesn't add up. And the story just gets stranger and stranger. And what really interests me about this is, you know, all the evidence from social media and from the comments pages of mainstream media newspapers where public are allowed to comment, the overwhelming number of people simply don't buy it anymore. You know, the people are extremely skeptical of the story that's been put out, because it's been so full of holes and contradictions from the
start. You've done your own little survey, haven't you, on Twitter? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I did a survey of 200 tweets with the Amesbury hashtag, simply. I just went to 200 tweets, and which were just, you know, by the general population, anything that looked like it was from a bot or from an official organization of any kind, I exclude it. But taking 200 ordinary members of the public tweeting with the Amesbury hashtag, I found that 66% of them were expressing, you know, extreme scepticism or disagreement with what the government is saying. 14% of them, 14%, were agreeing with the government that it's Russia and Russia is to blame. And 20% were just commenting on the story without giving any indication whether they agreed or not. But almost 5-1 was the figure, 66-14, was the figure of people agreeing with the government or disagreeing with the government. People overwhelmingly didn't believe it.
So do you feel a bit like a thought criminal?
It is quite interesting. I must say, in expressing scepticism that Putin would have wanted just before the World Cup to get all this bad publicity in order to bump off, you know, an old retired chap who'd already been let out of prison in Russia years ago. I've received a huge amount of abuse online, and especially from mainstream media journalists, interestingly enough. Just asking the questions that, you know, outlets like The Guardian and the BBC refuse to ask seems to really upset them. I don't know whether it's because it provokes their conscience or why it is, but it is very strange. It's as though you're not allowed to question, so questioning is wrong.
The interesting thing is, Craig, I know you visited the place where this Novichok was supposed to be manufactured, so you really are, in a way, someone who's had some privileged inside knowledge about it. Can you just tell us where that was and what the circumstances were?
Yeah, actually not manufactured, but tested. The old Soviet Chemicals Weapons Institute at Nukus in Uzbekistan, when I was ambassador to Uzbekistan, I actually went to a party to celebrate the end of the decommissioning of the plant and it being rendered safe. Now it's quite interesting because the decommissioning was carried out by the United States and by the United States military mostly. And all of the equipment was taken back to the United States. So the Americans certainly have the ability to make Soviet chemical weapons. But also, there were still, you know, there were some of the scientific community from all over the Soviet Union who had been assembled there in the desert at Nukus at the testing facility. Some of them were staying on, and some of them had married locally and that kind of thing. And I was able to learn, for example, that the Ukrainians were a very large community among the scientists making these chemical weapons, the Georgians, various others. So there again, you know, the knowledge of how to make this is not only confined to Russia. And one possibility might be, of course, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this is what happened. I don't know what happened any more than anybody else knows what happened. And nobody does know what happened except the perpetrators themselves. The British government certainly have no idea what happened. But one definite possibility is that the Ukrainians, who could certainly make Novichok, may have done this in order to blame it on the Russians. Ukraine is in a proxy war with Russia, of course, at the moment. And they would certainly like to embarrass Putin just before the World Cup. So there are many possibilities. For the British government to state, as they've repeatedly stated, that only the Russians had the motive, is just absolute nonsense.
Now, I would imagine, as someone who's a former diplomat and also who's had access to this place where the Novichok was tested, that you'd have had quite a lot of invites onto the British media, Craig.
strangely enough, I haven't at all, because... And the line I would give is not the government line. I would say it seems very unlikely this is the Russians are doing this. And certainly they don't want to hear that all the other Soviet countries can make it too and that the Americans took away the equipment. You know, this is all information they're quite keen doesn't get to the British public. And it is actually quite frustrating that, you know, I sit here at home watching the television and I watch people built on as experts who have had a great deal less contact with it and know a great deal less about it than I do, whereas I'm excluded because what I say is not politically acceptable.
Well, here's one of them for you to have a listen to. It's Dr. Sally Leversley, and she was on Channel 4 News this week discussing it. So it'll be interesting to hear what she's got to say and then get your comments afterwards, Craig.
One of the forensic pathways can certainly be that it's been a hostile nation state, and we know that Britain has made a direct accusation to Russia, and that nation state needs to muddy the waters with lots of stories, lots of different counterpoint views, and to particularly take the international pressure off it for sanctions, if it can raise enough questions in international minds and remove the very tight support that there is for Britain over the Skripals case.
But that would suggest that scientifically it may be very, very difficult actually ever to conclude anything from this.
No, I think the scientists will be able to conclude because at the molecular level, they'll be able to see the level of decay. But the important thing is, internationally, has another team come in and done this particularly to protect the reputation of an international state, or has it been a supply chain issue where some medical waste has got into the park and been picked up and reused? We just don't know.
Thank you very, very much indeed for coming in, Dr. Sally Leversley. Thank you.
Sally Leversley there, and I'm also joined on the line by former ambassador to Uzbekistan, Craig Murray, who's also, one might say, an expert in this field since he visited the place where the Novichok was tested in Uzbekistan. Now, what do you make of her analysis? What she's saying there, Craig, is that actually it is potentially traceable and linkable back to the previous Novichok attack, the same batch.
They should indeed be able to check if it's from the same batch. That's certainly true. The only difficulty is there's no evidence at all that the last batch was made in Russia. So it'll be the same batch, but we don't know where it came from. And I must say, you know, for Dr. Sally Leversley, who's appearing on the media apparently in the guise of some kind of scientist, to then talk about, a state might want to attack somebody else as well as a kind of false flag to protect its reputation, nothing to do with science at all. She has no more idea what she's talking about when it comes to whether Russia would then decide to attack some more random people so it looks like when it wasn't them. No, she's abusing her position. Being some kind of scientist doesn't make you an expert in international politics and espionage.
Okay, well, I'll tell you who is an expert, and that is the Prime Minister herself, Theresa May, and also Savid Javid, the Home Secretary, had something to say about this attack in Amesbury. I will let you have a final comment after we've heard from them, Craig.
Yep.
The eyes of the world are currently on Russia, not least because of the World Cup. It is now time that the Russian state comes forward and explains exactly what has gone on.
Yeah.
Let me be clear. We do not have a quarrel with the Russian people. Rather, it is the actions of the Russian government that continue to undermine our security and that of the international community. We will stand up to the actions that threaten our security and the security of our partners. It is completely unacceptable for our people to be either deliberate or accidental targets, or for our streets, our parks, our towns to be dumping grounds for poison.
Of course, my thoughts are with the people of Wiltshire, following the fact that we have seen two people this week again affected by this nerve agent. To see two more people exposed to the Novichok in the UK is obviously deeply disturbing, and the police, I know, will be leaving no stone unturned in their investigation in relation to what has happened.
So, Craig, what do you make of that? Also saying that the Russians are using Britain, Sahid Javid, as a dumping ground for poisons.
What I actually found most interesting was Javid was speaking in the Commons there, and when he got to his stirring a bit about the Russian state must come out, there were about four Tory MPs saying, he didn't get the sort of enthusiastic applause he was, not applause, but enthusiastic agreement he was expecting from the Commons, because frankly nobody really believes this.
Okay, what about the targeting in a way though, because obviously one can understand a former Russian spy, but these two people seem to be, you know, down on their luck, and possibly even addicts of hard drugs living in homeless hostels in Amesbury.
Yeah, I mean, they, one of the big worries about it. We don't know who did this. It could have been the Russians. It's certainly possible. But the Russians say it wasn't them. And for Javid to insist on the basis of no evidence whatsoever, no evidence has been adduced that it was the Russians. For Javid to insist that the Russian state admits to something it says it didn't do is a bit daft. One thing that does worry me is when you look at some of the other possibilities for whoever did this, including our own security services, including a rogue person from Portendown. The elephant in the room is Portendown. You know, you have one of the few places in the world that admits it does make chemical weapons, which is Portendown, which makes them for testing purposes, and has certainly synthesized Novichok in the past. And 3 miles one side of it and 6 miles the other side of it, 4 months apart, to chemical weapons poisoning.
Craig Murray, I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks very much for joining us. Former ambassador to Uzbekistan. It's time to sign off now for the Murdoch News at 8. Coming up live on Facebook, it's Arabian Nights with Mohammed Makawi. Thanks to our old Labour Oxford economist, Martin Summers. Also, Estella Ticknell in the first hour. Here's wishing you a relaxing and enjoyable St. Paul's Carnival tomorrow weekend. Do please join us for the politics show at 6 o'clock next week. God bless. And don't let the banksters get you down.
On 93.2, online and on your mobile. BCFM is an award-winning community radio station for Bristol, bringing you national news on the hour. Live from the Sky News Centre.